Hey guys, it's Danny. On this episode of Movies Ruin My Life, we're talking Hugh Jackman, Weapon X, Wolverine, the Knucklehead, the most interesting X-Man in the world. We're talking why we love him and how we love him.
Ow, my foot!
All right, so that's Danny.
Hey guys, how's it going?
And I'm Brandon, and this is our Wolverine panel. Now, this is the second episode in our comic book month, and we're anticipating what will be the third or fourth episode, should be the somewhere in around there, episode in our comic book month series, which will be our review of Logan, which I think you're back for, right?
Yep, I will be there.
Cool. And you're a huge Wolverine fan. We've had this conversation before on the road and whatnot, because we used to play together in a band and argue over comics, apparently. But yeah. That's what bands do, right?
Yeah, exactly.
That's what cool people do. So it's cool to have you here. I know Jesse wanted to be here for very personal reasons he couldn't be, so we miss you, Jesse. We'll see you soon. Brent also played last night, so he couldn't be here, so you're stuck with me.
Yeah, no problem. Just me and you, man.
Yeah, man. Has it been this way in a while since the Mission Impossible chat, I believe?
That one in the
Devin was here for
The Fincher one we did.
Okay, cool. Yeah. You know what I was thinking about when I brought up the Mission Impossible thing, though, was the fact that the original casting of Wolverine in the X-Men was Doug Ray Scott, the villain in Mission Impossible 2.
Really?
The only guy that can mimic Ethan Hunt. Because that shoot went long, because that fucking movie was such a shit show.
Right. He lost the
role? He had to step out on the role.
Oh, he must be really pissed about that.
Yeah.
Wow.
And Hugh Jackman.
So he was the second choice.
Yeah. Yeah.
Interesting, because he's like so synonymous with the character now.
Oh, yeah. And it's sad to see him go, you know?
Yeah.
Basically, up until this point, the entire series has been on his shoulders for the most part, with the exception of First Class, which we were looking at, and although that's a great film and one of my favorites, period, in all among all of them, it's one of the lowest grossing.
Yeah.
So it shows his box office power, especially when you're talking about this character.
Yeah, he was always the most popular X-Man, for sure. People are just drawn to him.
Mm-hmm. And it's interesting because he appears first in a Hulk comic.
That's right.
Where he makes his first appearance.
And he was the Wolverine then.
He was the Wolverine, yeah. Working for the Canadian government.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I prefer the idea that he is a... There are a couple conflicting origin stories, like with anybody, but
yeah.
I don't like the idea that he's an evolved Wolverine. I prefer the idea that he's a mutant, human being who's...
Didn't they have one origin form that was like something to do with he had like gloves on? That's where the swords, like they were like sword blades coming up through gloves or something like that?
Yeah.
I'm going to pass on that one.
Yeah. And one of his mythical training origin stories involves samurai training with Ogen, I believe it was.
And, yep.
But I mean, the man, it's interesting because a lot of people think Hugh Jackman's getting a bit too old to play the role, but obviously everyone knows that Wolverine is a very old man. He's just physically in his prime. And I think, like, at first I was upset because I thought Hugh Jackman had the sideburns, but nothing else.
Yeah, he's too tall.
Yeah.
He's good looking.
Yeah, he is. But with anything, like, I mean, now he's pretty much synonymous. It's really hard for me to think of Wolverine and think of the comic book one that I grew up with. I think if Hugh Jackman is dead.
Yeah. Before we get into the film, do you have a favorite comic storyline?
My favorite one as a kid was the Age of Apocalypse storyline, where Logan was missing a hand.
Mm-hmm.
I think this took place before the story... I was, you know, in the 90s when if you didn't buy an issue, you weren't filled in. I'm pretty sure Logan and Scott, is it Scott Summers, Cyclops?
Yep.
They got in an argument and Scott cut one of Wolverine's hands off.
So, sounds like Cyclops.
Yeah. So Age of Apocalypse is pretty, it's prescient in that it predicted a European Union. You know, the Sentinels are all over there. It's a really cool, futuristic, obviously apocalyptic beautiful storyline. It's hard for me to... Well, that one and then just the classic Wolverine title series from the 90s. Where
favorite of a lot of people's.
Yeah, and in that one, Sabretooth was Wolverine's father. Mm-hmm. It was revealed, and like I always preferred that.
It
was so much cooler. The Silver Fox storyline where Wolverine meets a native woman and he falls in love with her, and then Sabretooth tries to pull something, and she says no, and he kills her.
Yeah, which they source a little bit for the 2009 X-Men Origins Wolverine.
Yeah, yeah. And then I also had the Weapon X series, which came in these comic books, half Weapon X, half this old series called The Nam.
Oh, really?
Yeah, which was basically a Vietnam story, which is interesting because I think Logan is like the classic Vietnam anti-hero type mm-hmm. that came out after that war. Like I mean, Hugh Jackman's performance is very Clint Eastwood influenced.
Absolutely.
Those kind of 70s anti-heroes. But the Weapon X storyline was great because you got to see the bonding of the adamantium and just the extremely long process of healing because in some of those comics...
Yeah, some of those panels are gruesome.
Yeah. And in some of those comics, his healing factor, it used to be just minor cuts and bruises. Mm-hmm. And it's been exaggerated now to where he can heal from extreme trauma. Yeah. Obviously not in the 2013 movie.
No.
Which was more interesting to me. I like Wolverine without a healing factor. It's cool.
Yeah. The when you said that, I thought back to last time... Or the time before last that the guys from Drunk with Power were on, we were talking about Superman from the first comic book month that we did last year. And I was thinking about when Tommy compared how they were drawing Wolverine in the 90s and thinking about that as you're talking here and thinking about how as we were kids – Wolverine's power is just amplified and amplified and amplified to like a ridiculous extent where I almost lost interest.
Yeah.
Because he just literally seemed impervious to everything.
Yeah.
And it's so interesting that when they scale it back, when they do things like making him old and these sorts of things, it brings a lot of interest back to the character because the character's flaws and vulnerability are what make him so... Mm-hmm. Magnetic to readers.
Exactly. So whenever he's suffering, and whenever he's been diminished physically, all the great drama comes. Like I remember when Magneto stripped him of his adamantium, and he still had the claws somehow, meaning he must have been born with them. That was confusing. Like
he had the bone claws.
Yeah, the bone claws. But when he when they extruded, he underwent serious pain.
Yeah.
I think in some early comics, whenever he extruded them, there would be some blood coming out.
Yeah.
Regardless.
Even in some of the comics where he doesn't have the healing factor and he doesn't want to bring the claws out, like he'll tape other things on his hands like claws.
Yeah.
And then when they do come out, of course, they're covered in blood before he even...
Yep.
He even cuts anybody.
Yeah. The pain... I remember one comic where he's convalescing on a farm with Jubilee, I think, mm-hmm. and he pops them open once a day just to keep the channels open, like a person who took out their earring.
Oh, that's not Kitty Pryde?
No, it's Jubilee. He's with Jubilee in this particular storyline. Okay. Yeah. They had a kind of a paternal relationship in that one, which I
Well, same with, liked. That's why I thought I'm mixing up comics, but whatever. He's a really interesting character, too, because when you, say, for example, what we're talking about with the bone claw thing. I guess then you have to go with the origin series as his origin story, which then negates what you were saying about like you liking Sabretooth as his father.
Exactly. Yeah.
Now he's his half brother.
Right. Yeah. You have to go with that and accept that. That's fine. There's way too many conflicting timelines and storylines anyway with Wolverine. There's been a lot of creative license taken.
I feel like I would much rather have a Wolverine that I don't know the backstory, him perpetually pursuing it. The way that they've actually done it with the film, or like the Joker. The only origin story that we've ever had for the Joker may or may not be his origin. It's it's not really canon. It's kind of accepted as canon, but it's kind of not.
Mm-hmm.
And I like, that's how I kind of treat Wolverine. I don't, because there's a lot of elements that I don't really like about the origin comics. And then there's a lot of things that I really do like. And I do like the cat and mouse elements to part of it. I like the, for some reason, I like the idea of him being, or rather having a very tumultuous childhood, but I like the idea of him not, maybe not understanding or not comprehending that. Like, he's just, maybe just the odd little flash or something like that is good enough for me.
Yeah, I agree. I always thought it was really interesting when he had the memory implants and he was trying to figure out what in his life had actually occurred and what hadn't.
Is like when he has the fucking helmet on, like Weapon X style?
Okay. And it was really important for him. His main focus was romance. He wanted to know if the relationships he'd had with, say, Silver Fox or Lady Marie, he wanted to know if those were real, if they actually occurred.
Yeah.
He just wanted to reassurance that when he had enjoyed sustained periods of peace and love in his life, he wanted to know if that had actually happened.
That does come up in the Weapon X series. And then again, like when he comes face to face with Cornelius, who's kind of like the Stryker character in the films, he's full on like Death of Logan or like Death of Wolverine.
That's what
I'm talking about. When he's like, he gets coated in fucking adamantium, like his whole fucking body.
Yeah.
I like those flashback panels.
Yeah.
I like that. But I like that they're still, you know,
Cornelius is the scientist, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay.
He's basically the character that we know from the films is like Stryker.
Yeah.
He's like the head of Weapon X kind of thing, right?
That's right, yeah.
I got to ask, because I honestly don't know. And maybe you know.
Mm.
Whenever someone refers to, like, to his origin, to Wolverine's origin, so whether it's the James Howlett origin, whether it's fucking he evolved from a Wolverine, whatever it is, they're always like, he's from Canada.
Yeah.
Like, Canada's one fucking place.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, the city of Canada.
I know. Like, it drove me nuts when I was watching that Johnny Cash the biopic with Joaquin Phoenix.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the scene where he proposes to his wife on the tour bus, and the flash on the screen says, Ontario, Canada. Mm-hmm. Like, Ontario is a massive, massive province.
Yeah.
They can't give us anything a little more specific, like outside Thunder Bay.
Well, I doubt he's outside Thunder Bay. He's probably somewhere in the Golden Horseshoe, I'm guessing.
Probably, yeah. But yeah, I agree. Like, yeah, Canadian. Like, I think more specifically, he's supposed to be from Alberta, I think. But yeah,
He's from Alberta. I always get the impression that he's from Alberta, but, you know, if you're, I can't place it in my head.
Mm-hmm.
He strikes me as an Albertan.
Yeah, he does. It's interesting. And especially because he spends so much of his time in urban environments. But yeah, he definitely seems like he grew up on like a prairie.
Yeah.
But yeah, like
he likes his plaid shirts and his jeans and his belt buckles.
Yeah. I think it's another reason why so many of our friends and peers like Wolverine is because of the Canadian pride thing. But he's massively popular in the States.
So. Oh, of course, yeah. It is interesting, like, his creation was basically at a point, like, at a junction where, like, the comic industry was having a massive influx of Canadian readership.
Yeah.
And that is basically what, you know, made them go, okay, we need a Canadian character.
Right.
And it's quite good. I like it. All right. So now that we've solved the mystery of where Wolverine's from, he's from Calgary. He's from Cochrane, Alberta, just outside of Calgary. There you go. All right. So obviously we've already had an X-Men panel. We did that in the first comic book month. So we're going to skip ahead. We're going to get into X-Men Origins Wolverine 2009. Cool?
Yep.
All right. Directed by Gavin Hood. $150 million budget. I think worldwide ended up grossing somewhere just over $373 million.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting film.
Yep.
I very much like Liv Schreiber in the film.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. I do too. What the hell did I first see him in? Oh, wait, no.
Scream?
No.
Because we'd be 10 around then.
Yeah.
He's in Goon. He plays like the Wendell Clark character in Goon.
That's right.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. How was this one critically received? I don't remember.
This one was not well received.
No?
By fans or critics.
Critics? Yeah.
Basically where the film picks up, if you recall, you have the whole story kind of like origin. And Victor is his brother. And, like, they run off into the forest
right. Together.
Like, we're going to get out of here or whatever. And then they just kind of grow up and then they stop aging. And they have that fucking montage sequence right off the top of every war ever.
Yeah, Wolverine as soldier, yeah.
Yeah. Perpetual soldier.
Having fought, yeah, the idea is he's fought in, like, so many different wars.
Well, it's interesting, too, because, you know, he does have a past with, say, for example, Captain America and Bucky Barnes. In the comics, they don't realize he's a mutant.
Right. Really?
Yeah. Initially. And they're just like, wow, that guy's really fucking...
really strong, and he heals really quickly.
Well, no, they don't know he's healing. They're just like, wow, he's amazing. Like, he must be really lucky or something.
Okay,
he must be really good at dodging bullets. I don't know. But in any case... and then, of course, it comes out that Bucky is fucking killing people himself, so...
right.
So, big ups.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to remember, but... If memory serves, I think the Winter Soldier, once he's actually the Winter Soldier, plays back into the chronology of Wolverine's timeline. But I'm going a little foggy here. In any case, things that we can't do with the current state of the MCU and Fox and so forth.
Yep.
But on the flip side, Marvel's got their hand in Legion, which is a Fox show and a mutant show.
Right.
So... maybe.
Yeah.
Down the line, we could see a commingling of worlds.
That would be cool.
It would be.
Yeah.
Because some of like Wolverine and Deadpool in particular, their best kind of mashup comics to me are the crossovers with Hulk, the crossovers with Spider-Man, these sorts of things, mm-hmm. right? And, you know, I really want to see that.
Yeah. But
I'm also a fucking dweeb, so... we get through the fucking war montage,
right?
In the opening credits, and then it comes to basically Stryker recruiting them to be in this elite force,
right?
Stryker's played by Danny Houston in this flick.
Yep,
he does a really good job, you know, especially following up Brian Cox, who was great in X2 at that point. I really liked him. That being said, the movie goes off the fucking rails pretty quickly as soon as you see the cast of characters that are going on here. You got the Blob in this one. You have Ryan Reynolds playing a pre-cancer survivor, Wade Wilson.
Yep.
Pre-Deadpool, which is cool. Okay, I'll take that. And at some point in this flick, you actually have you have Taylor Kitsch showing up as... quote-unquote Gambit.
Right. Taylor Kitsch. Yeah, another Canadian. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, that didn't go over.
Another Canadian playing a fucking Creole.
Creole, yeah.
Yeah. Why?
Yeah, that...
even get a French Canadian.
Yeah, exactly.
Do something.
I mean, Taylor Kitsch, this was right around...
well, I guess now they got what's-his-face tied up in the role, Channing Tatum.
Yeah.
So...
that's interesting, because they kind of look similar. Channing Tatum is a huge, bigger, buffer Taylor. Taylor Kitsch is a much better actor, I think. But
no, he is not.
Basing that on his performance in Savages and his performance in True Detective Season 2.
Okay.
Not, what was it, the football show he was in, where he was the darling. Lights. Friday Night Lights? Not that show.
And what about Battleship the movie?
I haven't seen that. This is Taylor Kitsch?
Yeah.
Battleship the movie?
Yeah.
They made a movie about a board game? I didn't even know about this.
Rihanna's in it.
I have a soft spot for Taylor Kitsch, I guess.
Yeah, well, I don't, so...
but he was really bad in this movie.
He was really bad in this movie, and, I don't concur. I don't think that Channing Tatum is, like, the next fucking Robert De Niro or something like that.
Yeah.
But if you're looking for someone who can, like, hand out some one-liners, and you got to give me one of these two cats, I'm probably going to go Tatum.
Yeah, okay, in an action movie, sure. Yeah,
because that's all that he's going to be.
I think
he's never going to be a leading character in the series, because if they do the series correctly without Wolverine, then you got to go Scott and Jean centric again, right?
Yes, yeah.
And Scott can actually be a really cool character, like he was in the early comics.
Yeah.
If you don't, because he's pissy at everybody. Like, you know, once he stops being like he's like Captain America, fucking carbon copy, basically, where, you know, he's all like rah, rah, rah. And then finally he's just like, this is kind of fucked up. Fuck all you guys. And he gets real ornery, and that's cool. But if you're going, say, for example, that way, then Gambit is a side character. If you're going Wolverine-centric or, say, X-23-centric or whatever you're going to do there, then Gambit's still a fucking side character.
Yeah, yeah. You know? I wouldn't focus on him.
Like, all that he's going to do is like, oh.
Yep.
Like, that's going to be, like, the thing. He's going to show up and, like, throw a card and be like, oh. That's going to be his shtick.
I never liked the card-throwing shtick. As a character, he's just so weak anyways.
Yeah.
Nobody really ever liked.
Oh, yeah.
He's never someone's favorite X-Men.
Devin might like him.
Jesus.
I have it in the back of my head that I think he likes him. But the guys pointed out an interesting point about the 90s cartoon that we all love.
Yeah.
He has a bow staff in the credits. Not one episode does he break out that bow staff.
Really? He doesn't
never
use
again.
It?
Like, he broke it in the opening credits and never happened. Like, he just, I had one.
That's hilarious.
Yeah. It'd be like if Wolverine never fucking broke out his claws.
Yeah, I think Gambit had the staff in the successful Sega video game.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, I remember that. I remember Cyclops being really, really slow as a walker.
He had it in the side-scroller, the X-Men side-scroller, too.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. But in any case, he also has the bow staff in this fucking movie, and it's dog shit. So, moving along. You already talked a little bit about the relationship with Silver Fox.
Yeah.
Right? And she's Emma Frost's sister.
Right.
In this, and she's trying to save her sister. That's her thing.
Mm-hmm.
That's her shtick. So she's sleeping with Logan, but then she really falls in love with him. And, oh, this is so... I'm already getting a fucking headache.
Yeah, it's terrible. I mean, just this constant... of anybody who Logan likes at all being either in danger or someone they know being in serious danger in this movie.
Which we're going to talk about in the next,
like,
one, by the way,
Jesus.
But we'll get to that.
Sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't.
Yeah.
It's the amount that you care is directly proportional to how convincing the performance is. You're always going to care about Logan, but not necessarily about the people he cares about.
No.
So.
Just let him die.
Yeah.
So in any case, we pick up with Logan and he's shacked up with Kayla, and basically the gist of it is that he's walked away from Weapon X after that mission that was super anticlimactic.
Mm-hmm.
And the other mutants are all just like, I'm good at guns and I'm not fat yet, but will be.
Yep.
Actually.
Yeah.
This is the most inept group of mutants beyond Deadpool, who you then turn around and face fuck by the end of the movie. And everyone's made the joke a million times, Mortal Kombat, Baraka, all this shit. So we won't, I said it, it's off the table. Okay.
Mm.
But fuck this fucking movie. Not because it's like not loyal to the comic, because we just did a panel on Alfred Hitchcock, first in a series of panels that we're going to do on Alfred Hitchcock, and that's a guy that's not fucking loyal at all to source material. We celebrated Kubrick on the show. We've celebrated a lot of people who don't give a fuck about source material.
Yep.
It's not anything to do with that. It's that this is barely a fucking movie. Like, it breaks my heart, and I'm not even a huge Logan fan. Like, you know, like Spider-Man 3 was like a personal blow, because that was like my friend as a kid. Like, Batman was like surrogate shitty dad, you know. Hulk was like, I'm Hulk in my mind, you know, I'm fucking angry kid. And Spider-Man was like my homeboy. And
okay.
It was like watching my fucking best friend like just get made fun of by everyone in the world, basically,
right,
with Spider-Man 3. But, like, I can't even imagine for you as, like, a fucking flag-waving Wolverine fan.
Yeah.
What it must have been like when people were like, hey, you see that X-Men Origins Wolverine piece of shit?
Yeah, but...
Should have been Magneto.
I was always super careful approaching the movies, though, because, like, they always have such a potential to go wrong. They have to pick one line and go... They have to go with it. It's not, they don't have the freedom the comics do to mess around with timelines and I don't know.
Yeah.
So
this film shot predominantly, I noticed, in Europe, mostly in the UK and in Australia as well. And it's so interesting when you look down the cast of characters, like you have Dominic Monaghan, notably from Lost, Will.i.am is in the film, so he got a free trip to Australia out of the deal, I guess. That's good for him. And, like, the saving grace of the of this film is Liv Schreiber and Hugh Jackman, man.
Yeah.
Like, just, you could have just made a movie where just the two of them were on in front of a fucking green screen, like, playing ping pong, and then just put, like, fucking lasers behind their... I don't know.
If the movie was just them... Two, like, really focusing heavily on them as some kind of buddy adventure. Yeah.
No, like, tete-a-tete. Like, put them up against each other.
Yeah.
This is what it's always been. Or even, East alluded to, you know, how Sabretooth always shows up on Logan's birthday.
Mm-hmm.
And tries to fucking kill him.
Yep.
And then it's like, good fight, see you in a year.
Right.
You know, kind of thing. They live forever. Do that.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, something. Do something other than just, you know, we're putting the old band back together and we need mutant powers. So, for the super soldier, which again is a fucking Cornelius thing.
Yep.
From the comics. And that's actually the one I was talking about, Death of Logan. So, they borrowed from some good comics.
Right.
Don't get me wrong. So, they borrowed from the origin storyline. They borrowed from Death of Wolverine or... Yeah, Death of Wolverine, and other comics as well, clearly, and they've kind of melded it all together, and somehow, like, they haven't been disloyal. They kind of put a bunch of comics in a blender, hit blend, and then, you know, what came out was a pile of dog shit somehow. Like,
yeah,
just like the worst thing ever. It's like making a smoothie out of
It's hard
food.
To tell if it would have been more successful if they'd corrupted the source material more, or if they just picked one. I don't know, man. It's exactly, they blended a number of ingredients together and it came out really, really flat.
So. And also, these films always fuck with me in terms of my interpretation of what a mutant is, right? Because there's just this long line of evil scientists.
Right.
Like, right up through to Deadpool. You know, it's just everyone's a fucking evil scientist that's going to harness the power of a mutant and do something fucked up with it.
Yeah.
And then, so if you can harness his power so easily, like, it's like, let's draw some blood. Okay, you're a mutant too.
Yeah.
Like, really?
Yeah.
Like, let's think about this here. So the first movie... Magneto wants Rogue. That's a great, like, in terms of, like, the first X-Men film.
Yeah.
Magneto wants Rogue so he can put her in the fucking machine because she can take it, kind of thing. So she can absorb his power and then it'll kill her because he needs to be the one working the machine. But if he gives her his powers, then she can fucking control the machine, right? He can
right.
put her and she can die and then he can be all, I'm Magneto. So mutants being manipulated by scientific machine to turn everyone into mutants.
Yeah.
Perfect. Okay. So are you mutants or like, I don't understand. It's like basically evil scientist. All right. Number two, Stryker comes into the picture. And of course, he's evil scientist number one in the film series, right?
Yeah.
As much as he's a military man, he's doing all kinds of shit to his kid and this and that, and obviously been fucking with Logan and so forth. Okay, cool. Number three. Evil scientist again.
Yep.
Making a fucking serum that can make you not mutant anymore and offering it up to mutants, the cure.
Yeah.
But they've also weaponized it. Evil scientist. Do you see a trend developing here?
Yeah, yeah.
X-Men Origins Wolverine. Stryker origin. Evil scientist.
Right.
It keeps going. Every film is just... It's even...
No, I didn't think of it like
Peter,
that. Yeah,
Peter Dinklage is a fucking evil scientist who, like, got some blood from Mystique at the summons in Days of Future Past.
Yeah.
And makes, like, super sentinels out of it that can do what Mystique does with her flesh.
Right, right. Jesus.
Like,
yeah.
Every fucking movie, like, if it's that easy... If like some guy in a basement apartment in Cochrane, Alberta, no, I don't know, but you know where Weapon X would be, obviously.
Yeah, yeah.
In
no.
Canada, the city of Canada in Canada,
right?
Can do this shit so easily. Just gets on my nerves, man.
Yeah.
After a while, like these movies are getting really.
It starts to devalue what a mutant is supposed to be.
Yeah, Apocalypse was interesting. Because, you know, it was a mutant. They were facing a mutant.
Yeah.
Like, go figure, a fucking mutant. You know, I know they were facing off against Eric Lenscher in the first film, but it just... It's still... He's playing with mutants and science and big spinny fucking machines and shit. And it's evil scientist. Like, in that film, Magneto is an evil scientist.
And right.
It's a big problem with me throughout these films. And, of course, it continues on with this... Where I don't really want to spend much more time on this, do you?
No, I don't like this movie. No.
But, of course, you have this fucking terrible showdown between not Ryan Reynolds, but Ryan Reynolds' lookalike in the Deadpool.
Yeah.
With every fucking power that they've killed from all the mutants all the way along. So they kill the Blob. They kill Will.i.am, whatever the fuck his character's name is, who cares? They kill the guy from Lost.
Mm-hmm.
And basically turn in Deadpool becomes this super mutant.
Right.
So, okay, cool. And he's got Wolverine's healing powers, which is not actually accurate because, of course, Deadpool has better healing
factor. Does.
But
yeah.
Whatever. I do like the one other thing plot-wise that I really, really like about this film is the adamantium bullet.
Right.
Being a cause of his memory loss. I think that's really cool. I don't know why, I just think it's almost, I don't know, it's like pop poetry or something. It's real surface level, don't get me wrong, but... It's fun. It takes me back to something that someone would do in a 90s, you know, crossover action fantasy kind of film. You know, a RoboCop, a Terminator, something like that.
Right.
Or T2, you know, or something like that. Like, it's there's a nice feel to it. You know, even something you might see that in, say, a series like Evil Dead or, I don't know, something like that Raimi would do in around that time, Maniac Cop, something.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting because it is what sustains him, but it also, I mean, it poisons him.
Mm-hmm.
The healing factor offsets the poison, but then when the healing factor dies, somebody has to do something for him, I forget.
Mm-hmm.
Beast?
Yeah, might be.
Has to come up with some kind of concoction that offsets the poison. So yeah, it's like it always had this kind of influence on him. So mm-hmm. that, yeah, it does seem like some kind of trope that comes from outside most superhero movies.
Yeah, and it's nice. It doesn't play as strange. If they lost the whole Deadpool sequence and just been like, Stryker, I'm coming for you because you killed Kayla. Perfect.
Yeah.
Shows up. He tells her that, like, you know, secret agent, if you want to do that whole fucking thing, you know, she was only sleeping with you, blah, blah, blah. That's her sister. I've got her in a cage over there.
Right.
Whatever. Doesn't matter. You don't have to do any of that shit, though. You just, the whole movie is like, he wants him to come back. He won't come back. He tries to kill Logan, kills her. That's the movie.
Right.
And then you have the Victor Logan face off over and over and over again for fucking two acts. And that's the big showdown. And then as he fucking bests Victor and lets him live, he turns around and gets shot in the fucking head. And then Victor gets him out of there. mm-hmm. he shows a little humanity. Like, it's still my brother.
Right.
He
right.
gets him out of there and leaves him somewhere. Right?
Yeah.
That's the movie.
Yeah.
You got four characters.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You got Logan, Kayla, Victor, Stryker.
Right.
That's the movie.
Yeah.
You don't
yeah.
need anybody else. He fucking... There's that whole old man at the farm sequence. It's like,
oh fuck yeah, yeah.
What? And he gets the jacket that he's wearing in X-Men, but then he takes the jacket off and he leaves it somewhere. So did he just? He was, you know, we said that on the other show, you know, like, oh, did he just? Oh, I really liked how that jacket fit. Like, let me go and see if I can pick one up at the mall before I leave town.
Yeah,
doesn't. Fuck off, movie.
Yeah, there's too much.
Like, just make a four-character movie. That's all you needed. I don't know. Whatever. Let's move along. Let's take a little break. We'll come back. We're going to get into 2013's The Wolverine. I yes. think everyone likes this film better.
Yep.
There's still some problems, I guess. It's not a perfect film, but
no,
God not. Damn it, is it fun.
Yeah, it's great.
You know? So we're going to come back. We're going to talk about that. We're going to... maybe allude to some of our hopes for the Logan film coming up. I want to talk to you a little bit about how you think it's going to play out, because
last
there's
one,
really
yeah.
no way to do the old man Logan storyline the way that it is in the comics. But we're you know, currently.
Right.
Unless they're doing some serious fucking behind the scenes shit that somehow no one has caught wind of. But even at that, like, we'll get into it. We're going to come back, we're going to do Wolverine, we're going to do our Logan thoughts, and then we're going to get the fuck out of here, because it's comic book month, and we got to get back to watching comic book movies. We got Logan coming out. All right?
Cool. All right.
However you're taking part in this episode, remember to reach out to us on social media, on Twitter at Mermel Podcast, MRML Podcast, and on Facebook at facebook.com/moviesruinmylife, or by hashtagging moviesruinmylife wherever you're talking about movies. All right, so we're back, and let's get into some positive stuff, my friend.
The Wolverine?
Yeah, man.
Cool.
All right, so 2013, The Wolverine, where are we here? Budget of $120 million, so actually less than the first film. But grossed more, 415, just short of it,
mm-hmm.
million worldwide. Good flick. Get to see the Silver Samurai, which nerds in their mom's basement worldwide, including present company.
Yep.
We're very happy about, I think. Maybe not what we wanted per se, but who cares? We're going to go a little bit more standard format with this. We're going to talk a little bit about it, do favorite scenes for your characters, blah, blah, blah.
Cool.
All right? Because I feel like we were a little bit negative, and this is supposed to be a farewell to Hugh Jackman in the role, and we're doing a fucking poor job of it, mm-hmm. if I may say.
Sure. Okay.
Sure, you may say that. Obviously, this one picks up after the events of X3.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone's favorite X-Men movie?
Most people's, yeah.
That's
yeah.
sarcasm.
Yeah.
Most Americans,
everyone
according to the
it.
Fucking box office numbers. How is that possible? It's the second highest grossing movie in the United States at the box office, other than Deadpool, from the like the X-Men films.
Right.
Crazy.
Yeah.
But worldwide, it's a little bit lower on the list. So, yeah. It picks up. The last one picked up after the events of, or was kind of sitting half and half between events of X2 and whatnot. But in this film, we're picking up after the trilogy wraps up. And... this time around, James Mangold has the helm, does a little bit better job. I like some of the things he did, kind of a little bit past the whole shaky cam era, I think, but he employs it well here. The panicky feeling of after the funeral and these sorts of things, there's some good use in it, and we'll get into that. But I really like the opening. Logan's back in the Canadian wilderness. He's back in the city of Canada.
He's back in the city of Canada. Somewhere yeah. in the Yukon. He's out in the woods.
He's in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
And he's interacting with a bear.
Mm-hmm.
And he's having flashbacks of Jean. Sexy flashbacks. And of course, he also has a flashback to his time trapped in a camp in Nagasaki.
Yep.
Where he saves.
That was my favorite scene, the bombing of Nagasaki.
The opening sequence?
Logan, when Logan throws himself, rescues the guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I really like the young guy that plays, like, young Yoshida in that scene. The whole sequence just is a really interesting sequence because it shows, like, humanity on both sides despite conflict, et cetera, et cetera. And I don't know. It's a compelling sequence. And then from there, you get the Jean sexy sequence. And then, of course, he wakes up again. He's out in the woods. He's getting... Does he keep going into the store to get batteries for his transistor radios? Is what he's getting?
I don't remember. I can't remember what he's getting.
But in any case, he encounters these wieners that are like, oh, I'm going to go hunting. I'm going to catch me a bear. And of course, one of them shoots the bear off screen.
Yep.
And they're using poison tip darts. And Logan takes exception to this and goes into the bar, and you get that first great sequence with the drink and the arrow in the hand.
Yep. Yep.
The poison tip dart. So I guess you have nothing to worry about. Great scene.
Yep.
And of course, you get the first appearance of Yukio in the film, who's really cool. I like her character a lot. And I like when they're leaving and it's like, oh, no, you know, like two of them are going to be dead in a week or whatever.
Right.
Anyway, don't bother. I like how quickly this film gets going because it doesn't fucking matter. Like, mm-hmm. We get it. He's fucked up.
Yeah, he always had isolationist tendencies, so mm-hmm. We get it. Just, like, show it and move on very quickly.
The plane ride, obviously a problem for Logan. Doesn't like planes.
Mm-hmm.
But he goes just the same because it's Yoshida and because of, you know, the relationship that he's had with him in the past, of course. This somewhat borrows slightly from some of the comics. You already mentioned Mariko. Who's kind of the love interest or develops as a love interest in this film, but it's kind of weird because she's also really into, like, is it Shinjin?
Yeah. Yeah. And, Lady Mariko in Age of Apocalypse, that's what he calls her. But this connects back to, she's there because anytime in the Logan storyline where he was training as a samurai mm-hmm. under, I think, a guy named Ogen.
Yeah. Something like that, yeah.
It was with, you know, his love interest was Mariko or Mariko.
Mm-hmm.
There's a classic crossover comic with Ghost Rider and Wolverine.
Mm.
And I don't remember how it ended, but what I do remember is Ogen reappearing. But the funny one-liner was, apparently Ghost Rider is a terrible motorcyclist. And there's just a part where Wolverine's like, watch it, Flamehead, you're all over the road. So I remember that, and I haven't read it in like 20 years.
I haven't read it at all, so that's interesting. I didn't know that those two ever crossed over. So.
Oh, it's, yeah, just one issue, a classic. You can find it somewhere. It's probably on eBay for like $14. But, yeah, I mean, he had to go. The whole thing is about honor, mm-hmm. really, mm-hmm. so.
And he goes to meet him, and of course they clean him up, and it's this very... It reminds you very much of, like, Sean Connery and You Only Live Twice. You know, oh, I could get used to this.
Yeah.
but in any case, so he gets his shave on, he gets his hair cut, gets mani-pedi, whatever,
mm-hmm.
the works. And then he goes in, of course, to see Yoshida. And we were talking a little bit off air, this is the first appearance of Viper mm-hmm. in the flick. And in this film, she's less like Viper from the comics, who's just like a really good swordsman and super athletic and has heightened physical capabilities, that kind of thing. And sometimes, like, she does use, like, poison stuff, but she's not... They basically kind of reappropriate her as Marvel's Poison Ivy in this flick.
Yep.
Which is kind of strange, but whatever. We're going to go with it. Because it's not the first time that we've seen in these movies a character that's just like, I like that name. And then they make them whatever they want.
Yeah.
And it won't be the last. So she's his oncologist in the flick, and he's got this wicked fucking chair that conforms to his body, whatever he wants to do.
Yep.
I love that. And he tells Logan, of course, like, you know, basically, I can take away your healing factor. And Logan's like, you don't want what I have, and storms out. Character dies. Yoshida dies, quote unquote. And the movie.
Yeah, the idea was to give Yoshida the healing factor.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
Because he still doesn't want to die.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't want to die then. He doesn't want to die now.
Yeah.
And so, needless to say, we get that great action sequence, which is the funeral. And you also get the setup for the corrupt, like, chief of police type guy or whatever, or, like, the guy that's engaged to Mariko. And you get, who's played by Brian T., I want to say. I can't think of the character's name. It doesn't matter. Really well done. Making him, he plays a really good slime ball in this flick.
Yep.
But you get that amazing action sequence, of course, like you said a little bit before, where so at this point, Viper's done whatever she's doing to him to suppress his powers.
Yep. Yep.
And so the gang member dressed as a priest pulls off his fucking gear and blows a shotgun blast like through a security guard and then through Logan. Security guard's yelling at Logan too. I like that.
Yeah.
He's like, get back here. And, or whatever he's saying, cause I don't speak Japanese, unfortunately.
Right.
And chaos ensues. Right. And he's trying to warn them and they don't fucking believe him because there's like, oh, stupid American or Canadian mutant,
right,
and so on, and then finally they give in, and just as like people are thinking, or just as, and you see it, like you just see like Yukio being like, okay, maybe he's on to, oh yeah, he just, there's gunfire, okay, we're doing this now.
Yep.
It's a great action sequence. It's one of my favorite sequences, that all the way through their whole venture to the night's events, like going to the hotel where they have the Mars themed room.
Yeah, the whole train thing.
The Mission Impossible train sequence.
Yep.
The fucking like Shinjin on the fucking roof with the arrows and stuff, and he's doing like parkour off the off the fucking different roofs and structures and so forth, which is kind of interesting.
Yep.
Except for there's one moment where he runs and he could really just step over this vent. And instead, he has to do a fucking flip.
Yep.
And that was a little excessive, but okay, I'm going to go with it because it's a fun superhero movie. I like it.
That would not have happened if Darren Aronofsky had ended up directing this movie.
Yeah. It would have been cool.
Yeah, yeah. There would have been more attention paid to, like, you know, the bar scene, the drink, like the classic Aronofsky flash edits where you'd see a drink getting filled and then someone, I don't know.
Yeah.
I have a feeling that's what would have happened.
I like in this whole sequence, too, that no one is good or bad at what they do. They're all just – it's one of the sequences in the entire series that really feels like a for lack of a better term, like a fair fight.
Because of Logan being wounded?
Because of Logan being wounded.
Yeah.
Like Yukio is really skilled. She's got the bow staff going. She's fucking people up.
Mm-hmm.
Mariko's holding her own, like even though they're dragging at her, there's like four or five of them dragging at her, pulling her along. But every time that one of them gets held back, like she pulls one of them back and fucking takes him out, and then four of them go and so on, right?
Yeah.
It's an interesting sequence, and the chaos and everything is good, and they do it really well.
Yep.
Great stuff.
Yeah, it's one of the best parts of the movie.
Yeah.
If not the best part. Yeah.
I think that we can probably just talk a little more casually and, you know, favorite parts and so forth at this point. I'd like to know, though, before we, because I'd like to do the final act, like, at the end, unless your favorite part is the final act.
No, whatever you like. Yeah.
Do you have a favorite sequence in this flick? Favorite scene?
The memorable moment for me was the beginning, the Nagasaki thing.
Yeah.
That's just because I love that shit. And then, yeah, all the way from the funeral to the hotel.
Yeah.
The classic bullet train. I mean, watching Logan throughout the movie kind of deal with more, like, psychological stuff is
I like when he says, I never had to, he says, thank you. And like, I never had to like do this before or something
yeah,
like that.
Yeah, that's right.
Ask for help. No, that's not, I didn't mean that. I mean, like, I can't heal, but okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hospitals. That's what I meant. Or veterinarians in this case. I love it too that he's fucking, he's scratching at the kid while he's under.
Yeah.
While he's getting stitched up and stuff. So when he goes to shake the kid's hand, he's just like, oh, jumps back.
Yeah. Yeah. That's great. Doesn't he performs self-surgery at one point, doesn't he?
Yeah, but not very well.
Yeah.
On the train, I think he does something.
Yeah. He cuts himself open.
Mm.
But, right. He shouldn't have done that if he, I don't know if he knew at that point his healing factor was completely compromised. Maybe, maybe he didn't.
And I like the little touch of every time the blades come out, they are covered in blood.
Yes.
You know.
That's always the coolest. I don't like him having these clean open channels like in the comic book when he has the actual channels that lift above the glove.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
But it doesn't seem as firm either. Like it seems like that's more breakable. If it's in his hand and it's between his knuckles, it seems like that's an extension of his arm. It's all one piece at that point. That seems more indicative of if someone with bone claws that's had them covered over with adamantium, you're not going to have them coming up out of the top of your hand.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have them coming up between your knuckles kind of thing, or actually your knuckles.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is cool.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I really like the sequence when they go back to Nagasaki. Not so much the sexy time. I don't care about that. You know, I don't really, I get it. You know, but then again, I'm familiar with that part of the Wolverine saga per se, like all of his Japanese stuff. I understand that. So maybe it's a little bit lackluster for me at this point, but I do really like, for example, like the stuff with the tree, moving the tree. And, I don't know. I like watching like Logan grocery shop and the sort of thing.
Yeah.
Like have dinner and have conversations. It seems like such a juxtaposition to what you usually see him doing, which is just, you know, berserker rage, you know.
Berserker rage, yeah.
Attacking people, double fist to the chest kind of thing, you know.
I feel like they'll be doing a lot more of that in the new one.
A lot more dialogue.
Older, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it looks
and
like.
And that's always the most interesting thing to me. I really like that sequence, though. I really like the return to Nagasaki. I think it's a nice way to kind of keep the, as you would say, narrative thrust of the picture going.
Right. Yep.
And I like it very much. I really, really do. I think it's very tastefully done. And they don't linger there. Of course, again, you got to have someone fucking kidnapping Mariko, which, whatever. You got to get the movie going.
Yeah, it's been done so many times. Ebert pointed out years ago, he says, I'm so tired of that like the love interest being kidnapped. It's happened a billion times.
Mm-hmm.
But it works for a reason.
Yep. So, because it's simple. It's like, if that was what the first one was about, then we would have been fine. Like we said, four characters, yeah. That's it. That's all you need.
Yeah.
This exactly. One, if you need a few more because you need the side stuff going on. But it's okay. Favorite character besides Logan in this flick?
Yukio.
Yeah?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, she's pretty sweet.
Yeah. Nice to watch their kind of burgeoning friendship.
Mm-hmm.
When
they go bust up the corrupt
and when she
police
sticks
officials'
with,
place.
Yeah, when she sticks with them sort of at the end, which seems consistent with that sort of...
Despite her now knowing Yoshida's alive.
Yeah, like the samurai culture of like generosity, charity, but still strength. I don't know. That was cool. But then that wasn't even the real ending. The real ending was Logan goes home. He goes back to America.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Mariko takes over the company. For reals.
Yeah.
This time.
Yeah, yeah.
For reals.
For real.
Question for you about the whole honor, so on, so forth. The story that Ishida's telling to Logan in the first part of the flick when they're talking and Logan's looking around the room and he points at like a mural. He's talking about his ancestors and how they're ninja warriors.
Mm-hmm.
But then he has all this fucking samurai shit going on as well. And even in the same speech, he talks about the samurai.
Right.
Are you a fucking ninja or are you a fucking samurai? Because
I didn't know.
Now, I'm a white guy from fucking North America, so maybe I have this wrong. Any Japanese listeners, please let me know. But my understanding of those two societies, per se, is that they do not like each other.
Yeah.
Like ninja and samurai, you know,
they're
never between
be
shall meet.
Vastly different. Yeah. I don't remember this. He said that?
Yeah, because his... And
how
even,
did that get past the fucking initial script drafting process? Ninjas.
Yeah, he talks a little bit about ninjas, and then of course he has ninjas when in the final sequence, obviously.
Yeah.
Shinjin is a fucking ninja.
Right.
He's not a samurai. So in one speech he talks about ninjas, ninja society, and then he refers to Logan as he could live so long that he would become a Ronin.
Right. Right.
And it's like, you're talking about mixing metaphors here.
Yeah, it is the... Plus,
like, are you into the Beatles or the Beach Boys? Like, what are we doing here?
The samurais seem more in line with Logan because of the... Ninjas are really... They just seem almost interchangeable.
Well, they're assassins.
Right? Like, the Foot Clan.
They're not warriors. They're assassins.
Yeah.
It's a different... Well, you know, again, my rudimentary knowledge of them. Yeah. Generally, they're portrayed as assassins.
Yeah, but they never seem very individualistic.
No.
So, like...
Neither are samurai per se.
I guess per se, no, a samurai. More like
but there's honor
instructors.
And blah, blah, blah. Yeah.
It's just like, I think samurai, it involves some kind of spiritual quest as well that involves introspection, being alone. Whereas ninjas, yeah, they're okay, they're assassins, but they're always portrayed as working together, usually.
Yeah.
Rarely. Yeah, that is really weird.
Fucking strange.
But there are a lot of ninjas in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe that's how they decided to just introduce it.
Yeah.
It's less weird to the viewer if Wolverine has some connection to that.
I don't know. I understand. I really like Shinjin. I really do.
That's your favorite?
Yeah. I think he's cool, man. I don't think he's like cool. I don't think like he's, you know, obviously Hugh Jackman, like you said, he's like Clint Eastwood cool. Mm-hmm. And that's... To, again, someone from North America, like, that's what cool is.
Yes.
Doesn't really care, doesn't really try too hard. There's, like, an aloofness, there's a...
Aloof is a good word, yes. There's an aloofness there, yeah.
Whereas Shinjin's full-on, very much what I see being, like, if he was a ninja, like, ninja cool, mm-hmm. you know, where he's completely devoted and that kind of thing.
Yeah, there's an intensity there that Logan's lacking.
Yeah, exactly. And a focus that Logan lacks big time until he gets fucking berserker crazy.
Until
which
he
is,
has a reason, yeah.
Yeah, which is the whole point. That's a hero's journey right there, where I think that Shinjin is very, like, he's stable. He's more stable somewhat, although obviously he's blinded by his love for Mariko. And his loyalty to the House of Yoshida.
Right.
So, but, with that said, moving into the final sequence, so you have all the stuff with the corrupt police official, which is hilarious, catching him with the two girls and all that stuff, and, you know, the throw him out the window, how'd you know there was a pool there, I didn't, all these things, right?
Mm-hmm.
Very lethal weapon. In any case... Let's fast forward to that great final sequence. So he's going, they're looking at the fucking same tapestry or whatever on the wall that they were talking about earlier with the ninjas and the fucking samurai and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
And it cuts to the actual place. And he's rolled up there on a fucking motorcycle because he's Clint Eastwood.
Yep.
Because he's a rebel. And he's going through, and this is now he's got his healing factor back because they've dealt with what's going on back at the same room where the tapestry is, fight sequence, etc. Everyone's seen the movie.
Mm.
But what I love about this final showdown sequence is the entry into it, not the actual sequence, where he's coming into the town and all the ninjas meet him, and so there's a little bit of combat, but then you get that very almost reminds me like Hero or something like that with all the arrows.
Mm-hmm.
And then in Hero, of course, like he falls away, and you just see this space where the body would be, so you know he's dead.
Yeah,
it's like that, but in this case, obviously, there's just millions of arrows with ropes fucking pulling on Logan.
Yeah,
and is it cheesy? Yeah, kind of, I guess, for American audiences, but. That's some that's an interesting aesthetic. Yeah, between your fucking computer and your phone, dude.
Sorry.
This episode's going to be full of beeps and boops.
So between the continue.
I just really like the aesthetic of it. I think it harkens back. If you're going to make a movie set in Japan, then there are certain staples that you have to have, and there is an artistic and rhythmic storytelling that you have to endeavor to achieve, and that is a sequence that, with the snow falling and the arrows with the ropes kind of hitting him, showing his determination that he continues forward, and they're all pulling on him and dragging on him, and he finally collapses.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a powerful sequence. If you're willing, at this point, if you've bought into the film, it's a powerful sequence, and it does something for me.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, and there's something kind of primal and ancient about the arrow. Mm-hmm. I remember not liking that movie 300 very much, except for one sequence involving arrows. Mm-hmm. Might have been the end when Leonidas, whatever, he throws the arrow at the Persian king or whatever. But yeah, there's something there that is obviously heavy-handedly metaphorical, but also just it's really good to look at. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree with you there.
But that being said, inside the compound, to me, is where this film... I've been in at this point. I've been in on this film.
Yeah.
You know, it's...
This is on the estate.
It has... I think it's an hour and a half... Or, sorry, no. It's way over an hour and a half. It's 2 hours. Just over 2 hour runtime. And for an hour and a half, I've been committed wholeheartedly to this flick. Everything from fucking... When Logan gets to, you know, beat up Mariko's dad, I'm like, yeah, you fuck that asshole up. You know, like every step of the way, I've been like, yep, throw that douche police officer in the pool that you didn't know was there. All the, like, everything all the way along, I'm totally down. Help the people in the village with the tree, whatever.
Yep.
Then the Silver Samurai shows up and I get, like, all fucking nerd bonery.
Right.
And then you get this weird fucking convoluted fight sequence. I don't know what's going on. All of a sudden Viper's fucking bald and like she's pulling her skin off and, you know,
shedding her skin. Yeah.
Fucking Shinjin's throwing fucking arrows at everybody. He doesn't know, like, who am I fighting? Okay. I'm fighting you now. Oh, well, I have another arrow left. So here you go.
Yeah.
You know, which every time he opens that fucking case, by the way, you got like 4 arrows in there and then he fires like 700 arrows.
Right.
Where is
he getting these from? Yeah.
Do they, is it a mass? Like
self-regenerating.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. There's like a little elf in there just whittling arrows for him inside the fucking case while he's, well, he takes one. Oh, fuck.
Yeah.
He took an arrow. Okay, here's a new arrow. Fuck, man, stop shooting so many arrows. But in any case, really convoluted fight sequence. I get it. Ishida, he is the Silver Samurai.
Mm-hmm.
Having that for the video game must have been beneficial. I never played the video game for this flick, but
I haven't either.
Whatever. No. But it's still a fun sequence. Obviously, Silver Samurai, like, pulls the power. So he builds the samurai suit, and the entire purpose of the samurai suit is just to fucking pull the life, like the regenerative power out of Logan,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
So he's pulling the power out of Logan, and why the elaborate fucking samurai outfit, buddy?
Yeah.
I don't know. But in any case, we're going to let it go because it leads to the fucking chopping off of Logan's claws, which is cool as fuck.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, he loses his claws and then...
they regen his bone claws on the one hand.
Yeah.
Which is cool.
But then they end up killing anyway when... Who picks them up? Who uses them at the very end?
Magneto.
I could have sworn somebody picks them up and uses them as a weapon. Is it Magneto?
Oh, yeah. Someone... Magneto's in the, like, at post credit or whatever, or when they land back there at the airport. But same with Charles. He's there too.
Of course, yeah, Charles.
But it's Mariko.
Is it Mariko?
Who lands the final coup de grace with the broken
claws.
Yeah.
Yeah.
On her fucking grandfather, who she loves dearly, but has now lost his fucking mind.
Yeah.
So I like it. It's very and again, there goes back to the what we were talking about with the whole, there's some elements of like the Japanese cinematic artistic perspective that needs to kind of transcend over if you're going to place a film in a universe that takes place in comics that very much draw from that, or in the same universe as the comics that draw very much from that.
Yeah, so I agree with that. You know, there's like an artistic responsibility there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I like that element, you know.
Yeah.
Saying goodbye and remembering her, you know, she alludes to remembering her grandfather as the man that he was before he lost his fucking mind.
Mm.
So that's, I respect that.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Absolutely.
But yeah, then of course, there's always a fucking falling sequence, and if the Silver Samurai falls off the cliff, like, it's still pretty handy. Like, go get him and, you know, refurbish it as something else.
Yeah.
Like, the world's biggest Keurig machine or something.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can do something with all that adamantium. But, whatever. Hugh saves the day,
mm-hmm.
as Hugh always does. He's saying his goodbyes. He gets back on the plane after, of course, like we said before, Mariko picks up, you know, the tab for his trip home and takes over the as CEO of her grandfather's company and kind of embraces her fate. And also because Logan's killed everybody else that could possibly
run the company. Yep.
So perfect.
Except for what's his name, who died of natural causes, it seems.
Who?
What's his name? The old man.
Oh, the old man's in the adamantium suit.
No, not that old man. The other old man.
There's another old man?
Wait, hang on. Am I confused here? Are you telling me Yoshida
is the Silver Samurai? He's in the suit. That's where they're pulling the power out of.
Yes. No, you're right. Sorry. No, I was wrong about that. Yeah. Yeah. No, that makes sense because didn't want to die.
Yeah, so okay. He faked his own death, and that's why... That's and why Yukio didn't see it.
Yeah, and why would he die the night it. Logan gets there, or the night after?
Well, Logan says, I won't give him to you, like, willfully, so then he's got to push his plan forward.
Exactly. But it's just, it would be very convenient if he had died, mm-hmm. because it's immediate.
Almost like a movie or something.
Like, I'm going to leave. Well, you can't. You have to come to the funeral.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
And then he gives the line, like, after he's just had this fucking blowout with the guy the night before, he shows up and says to the shitty son slash father, you know, oh, your father was a good man.
Mm-hmm.
He would say the same about you, but he always did like your kind or something like that. And then he looks at Yukio. It's like, dude, it's a funeral. Your father is on the slab up there.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's not in on this.
Yeah.
So, I don't know, whatever. Good flick overall. I really like it. I like the post-credit sequence that they went with, which is the Magneto and Charles. Charles stops everybody in the airport. Magneto does his thing with Logan. And they warn of Days of Future Past, basically.
Yeah, exactly.
Is on the way. Which presumably, when they come to the airport, there's still like another 40 years before like Days of Future Past happens, because that's still, you know, present timeline.
Yeah.
And then they're in the future, of course, so.
So why would they have to?
It's like it's immediate. We need it right now.
Yeah.
Okay. See you in 20 years.
Yeah, and we'll also be waiting a very long time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, nevertheless, good flick. I do like that alternate credit sequence again from Nerd Boner Value Alone, which is the... he opens the gift, and Mariko gets him, and of course it's a classic Wolverine mask.
Right.
And costume, yeah. in it, which is cool.
I like that, but yeah, you can't go with that.
Yeah, because then your franchise dies.
Yeah.
So a little bit better than Deadpool winking at you that you got at the end of the first one.
Yeah.
So I'm cool with that. Overall, a considerably better flick.
Yeah.
And 100% again, this is the Hugh Jackman show.
Yes.
For the, what is this, 6th time, something like that in the franchise?
Yeah, this movie is really all his. And I know that he personally...
So this is the 5th time in the franchise.
I think, his personal favorite,
yeah,
acting-wise.
Well, hopefully he likes Logan because it's R and he gets to actually like fucking rip people up. That's one thing that's so weird when you see him doing, admittedly. We joke about this all the time with a lot of comic book movies. Say, for example, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles is a great example because they'd become such pop culture icons for kids at that point.
Mm-hmm.
But then they went back to a film that was more it was a hybrid of the comic, the violent comic, and the super kid friendly like pizza party dudes.
Yeah.
With the different colored bandanas and shit, right? So what you got was you got them with swords and scythes and these sorts of things, cutting people up, but you never saw them do any cutting.
Right.
Right?
Yeah, it was a PG movie, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then in this flick, you see Logan, he's got blood on his hands and on himself because he can, because he's not going to die.
Right.
So they can get that by.
Okay.
You have to show that, the wound, like, okay, I'm showing that he's wounded. Okay, no problem. But when he like full on cuts through someone on screen, they generally will, just before like the spatter would happen or splatter would happen, they're like cutting away or, you know, doing something where like that's one thing, and we'll transition to Logan, that I'm looking forward to, is to see that shot where like he drives his fucking blades into somebody and mm-hmm. the blood splatters on his face.
Yeah.
So I think there's a lot of power in that.
That's risky of them though, because of just how many people will, well, we'll see. We'll see. It's being marketed as his last one, right? Mm-hmm. Like it's all over the internet. So,
and also the fact that people have now grown up with him. You figure, say for example, let's say that someone was 13 years old.
Okay.
When the first X-Men came out. Hell.
They'd now be what? 20? No. 20.
Yeah, so they'd be 30.
Yeah.
Wow. I had to do the math there. Yeah, so, and if they were born when the first one came out, they'd still be old enough to see this flick in R. So I think it's a logical progression.
Yeah. Okay, fair enough.
Which is cool. There's a lot of hype leading up to this one.
Yep.
You know what? Before we get into it too deep, let's take a little break. We'll come right back, share a few thoughts on Logan, wrap it up. Is
sure.
that cool?
Yeah. Cool.
All right, next week we're back talking more Wolverine with Logan in theaters. We hope you'll join us then. All right, so we're back, and Devin's joining us.
Hello.
Sweet. Thank you for jumping in, sir. Good evening. And just a quick thought, a quick couple of thoughts on what we're hoping for out of Logan. Last time we're going to maybe see Hugh Jackman in the role of Wolverine. It's an R-rated flick. And I want to quickly, off the jump, and Devin, you were here for the X-Men panel, mention that back when we did the X-Men panel, both myself and East were, we really liked the idea of an old man Logan comic translation into film. But I have to preface this, okay? I have to say that when I said that, I was very much kind of pushing for an amalgamation of the MCU and Fox's universe. You know what I mean? Because the problem with doing, well, there's several problems with doing Old Man Logan, at least in the way that it is in the comic, right? Which I don't think that they're going to go for, but have you guys read the Old Man Logan comics?
I haven't, no. I want to, but I haven't.
Okay, so basically, the Old Man Logan miniseries is like, it's set around the events of the new Secret Wars comics. It's like a miniseries that leads into the most recent take on Secret Wars, right? So the problem with, say, for example, the MCU doing it and just the X-Men Fox universe doing it is that X-Men has like explored time travel, for example, but they haven't explored multi-universe kind of things. So there isn't multiple Earths existing simultaneously in their film universe, right? Whereas Marvel has started to delve into this and probably will continue to as they go along, so they can tell weirder fucking acid trippy stories. Now, Old Man Logan kind of, obviously there's some stuff that kind of everyone knows. Everyone knows about the whole like incestuous Hulk family thing, and them killing off Logan's family. There are things like that in the series that kind of everybody knows about. Obviously, what it looks like Professor X is going to be in this film is he's going to be a surrogate for the Hawkeye character in the comic, right? Additionally, there's a ton of other weird shit going on because it's an alternate dimension. It's not the Earth that we live on, which is what, 2036, 2046, whatever. In any case, it's not the main Marvel universe. It's another universe, and Logan feels like everything's gone weird and gone wrong. So, like, Red Skull is the fucking president. Like, at one point, Logan is in the fucking White House, and he puts on Tony Stark's armor and, like, smashes out through the fucking roof of the White House to escape, like, after killing Red Skull or something. And a lot of the parts of the miniseries is him encountering someone from a life that he remembers, but they don't remember him the same way. And they're saying, like, you know, they're getting into a fight because of that, for example. And then either it stops and they decide to help him, or they fucking die or whatever, right? And it's a really interesting comic because what it is it's like three or four worlds all intersecting, right? Over the that are because of the multiverse coming together for Secret Wars. And why I was pushing for that when we talked about it initially was because, for me, whether they do, I would like them to do classic Secret Wars, just to be clear. This is kind of bullshit to me, but, like, I like it. I like the comics, but why I like the idea of Secret Wars is because it's a natural progression after they close up their Thanos shit. You know, once Thanos is gone, you go to your next big baddie, or your next, like, a more powerful entity, right? And the Beyonder is an obvious choice, right? Because they're not going to go to, like, the One Above All or something like that. We talked about this a little bit off air, Danny, as well. Like, the One Above All, for anyone who doesn't know, is like God in the Marvel Universe, right? So they're not going to do something like that. So if they had merged into the MCU, it makes a lot of sense for me. But because they're, and I was kind of hoping that when we heard, like, rumblings of this Legion TV show and all these things happening, that maybe there was a chance of seeing the X-Men coming back into the MCU in some form, some kind of crossover form. But so instead, what I'm hoping for personally out of this film, something very different from the Old Man Logan comics. I don't really want to see any of that. I want to focus more on the X-23 elements of it, the clone elements, you know, it's my clone daughter kind of thing, and tell a very unique and simple, you know, travel kind of story, like, you know, road story, if you will, kind of like what we jokingly said that the first X-Men Origins could have been,
right?
If we were smart about it, and you know, that's where my heart is on this. I don't know, where do you guys sit with this? Like, obviously the trailers look great. The trailers look stunning. The new one's really, really good. The first one, you jokingly said, Danny, was Johnny Cash music video or something?
Yeah, I don't like that trailer with the Johnny Cash thing, but the second one's fantastic.
Yeah, and it's clearly going to be an entertaining film.
Yep.
But I think it needs to be something really special to say goodbye to Hugh with, you know? He's been carrying these films on his fucking back for, like, since 2000.
Yep.
Come on. Give the guy a good film.
The only thing I can hope for is that they don't, like, in so many of these sort of longer-running Marvel series, when they replace somebody, they feel the need to just reboot the whole fucking story again, like Spider-Man, or
all again, yeah,
like the Fantastic Four or something like that. Those weren't continuous, were they?
No.
But and it's just, it's such like a, it's such a fuck you to anybody who's watched the previous movies when it's like, okay, we get it, like the contract is over, that's fine, you know, get somebody else, that's okay, but don't, like, let's not be like, oh, well, now we need to establish that he had an origin too. Like, no, we don't.
No, we don't.
We don't need to establish that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We all know that now. There's a movie we can watch if we don't. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't matter that he doesn't look exactly the same. He looks a little bit different.
Yeah.
That's fucking fine. I'm fine with that.
Mm-hmm. So you want to see Wolverine movies continue on after this, or do you want to go X-23?
I mean, I think he's a character that you can't really continue anything X-Men related without.
Why not? She's exactly the same. She's literally Lady Wolverine. She's his fucking clone.
Is that continuous with the comic stories, though? Yeah. But I mean, how? So then we're just ditching like an entire catalog of X-Men comics that came before whatever.
You can bring him back.
Putting in. See, because that's another thing that really frustrates me about the Marvel Universe, though, is just how we just pick these arbitrary points to progress to, and then everything that came before that, it remains canon, but is just never going to have a movie made of it again.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like going in, you know, building, introducing all of these separate Marvel characters and separate movies and then tying them together so that you can go into Infinity Wars, but then all of their individual plots just get completely ignored.
Mm.
We don't get an individual movie for any of these people about a really cool plot line that they dealt with separate from everybody else because there's something larger that we're building towards. And so, yeah, I don't know. It's great. Okay, if they made more Wolverine movies with fucking girl Wolverine, I don't care. Fine, if that's what you want to do. But I think it's just, you know, it's kind of shit that you know, that this is a character that has been so...
loved.
Yeah, and such a huge part of all of these story arcs. And just because some one person's contract is running up,
he's had many contracts at this point.
Well, he's been in, what, 5 movies?
No, he's been in 8.
Really?
Yeah.
That's more than I thought.
Okay. It's been almost 20 years that he's been Wolverine.
What 8 has he been in? Because he's been in 3 X-Men plus Days of the Future.
4 X-Men.
Okay.
Oh, so 7. This is number 7.
Yeah. Because he wasn't in the...
Wasn't in First Class. Is the only... Or yeah, he is. He has a cameo in it. He's in First Class and he's in Apocalypse. He's in every single X-Men
cameo
movie.
We can't really count.
Why not?
It's a cameo. It's a walk-on.
I know. He still got paid for it.
Yeah.
He gets a movie credit. He's in every movie and they bring him in because they know if he doesn't tell someone to fuck off or if he doesn't show up in his Weapon X gear, then the movie's not going to succeed.
Yeah.
In their mind, it's funny. Like, First Class was the lowest grossing, and it's the least Wolverine.
Yep. There's a direct correlation there.
It's interesting.
What I want to see with Logan is, obviously, it's going to be a more personal story because it's called Logan, not Wolverine, although they used that title already. But
twice.
From the trailer, it looks like he's taking on some kind of quasi-parental role, so we'll definitely see the tender side of Logan. And hopefully it doesn't just conclude with him withdrawing into some hermetic, lonely, isolated existence. He loves being alone. He loves sulking. So hopefully there's some kind of resolution that at least hints towards a bit of happiness and stability for him.
Would you be interested in all in making this the Death of Wolverine comic series? We were talking about that a little bit before. I think Danny, he goes back to see Cornelius, right?
Mm-hmm.
Who would essentially be Stryker in the films, who's after his healing power again and so forth. And obviously there's a new firm that's in this film, so have a tie in there. But in any case, have him like essentially fucking doused in adamantium, you know. It's not a bad move.
I wouldn't mind that, but, you know.
Just some way. Kill him some way.
Usually death of movies are terrible, but I wouldn't mind that.
Because you can always bring him back. Like, it's a comic book movie. There's a million ways to bring him back. You fucking magic scepter, whatever.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking forward to it, and it's going to be sad. There'll be an elegiac quality to it, for sure. That's why that first trailer's so damn sad. The Johnny Cash version of Hurt. Which is inferior to the Nine Inch Nails version. I've always said that. I don't care if Johnny Cash died. Just when that song came out, everyone was like, Johnny Cash is brilliant. It's the best thing ever. It's like, no, the Trent Reznor version's infinitely better.
It's his song, yeah.
It's his song. It ends better, and he doesn't change the word. Like, crown of shit is crown of shit, not crown of thorns. Johnny Cash is like, I have a priest. I can't sing these words. Yeah, that's what I got for Logan, though. I'm looking forward to it.
And very much. Both you gentlemen are back for that panel, yes?
I think so.
Cool. Very cool. All right, so more Logan. Just don't kill him. Talk him into staying. Come on, he's an old man. You can make him old for 50 more movies and just have him fucking driving a car or something. Whatever. Have him in the movie. X-23, I would really like to see her like grow as a character. I think that could be interesting. Laura's an interesting character, and she's got some really interesting storylines that you could go down. I don't know. That seems like a good place to cap it off. We seem to all be pretty sad that he's leaving.
Yeah.
So, Hugh, we're going to miss you. Don't go.
Come back. Sign a new contract.
Yeah. Fox Studios, get this shit done. So that's it. Remember, this is just the beginning of the conversation. We want to continue it on with you. We really do. This one's been a weird episode to do because as much as we don't love some of the movies we're talking about here, we love the character, and Hugh Jackman's been great in the role, and he's carried 7 films on his fucking back, and we love him for it, bringing our childhood to life. So reach out to us. We're at Mermel Podcast on Twitter, at MRML Podcast. Do you guys want to offer up your Twitters? Devin?
At YR_ and then homeboy.
Perfect.
I'm at Leafs Love Hurts.
Thank you, Danny. I'm at Not Brandon Fleet. And you can also reach out to us via email at show@moviesfrommylife.com. You can go to our website, moviesfrommylife.com. Leave a comment for us there. If you aren't already subscribed to us on SoundCloud, Stitcher Radio, TuneIn Radio, iTunes, wherever you listen to podcasts, Google Play Music, subscribe to us there, all that shit. And if we're not where you listen, let us know and we'll get there for you. That's about it. Thanks for hanging out with us. It's hard to not do it now that you know
that fucking like button.